Thank you, Tim. You can be seated if you're not already. Good morning, everybody. So glad to have you out here on a beautiful, beautiful fall day in Worcester, Wayne County, Ohio. We love it, don't we? Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Just a reminder again, it's been said we're having a big deal at our home tonight for 20-somethings. A lot of you, if you haven't signed up, just let them know at the info center. Dixie would not want to run out of food, let me tell you. So, but we want to really get connected. We have so many people here that fall in that category, and we want to somehow get you connected. Does it ever bug you? It bugs me sometimes to think that some of the, I know many of the best people on the planet, but there are other people that I have not yet come to know. Does that ever bother you? There might be people in this church family that could become near and dear friends, and it's time we get connected. Agreed? So let's not miss out. You need friends and relationships, and you are needed for those things to happen. So thank you for your faithfulness and the return of God's tithes as we get traction here and our offerings. As we get traction into the summer, some of us need to get back in the habit of regular Dixie and I return God's tithe and offerings faithfully every single week. We always set a projected budget, but we don't spend to that level. We spend to the level of our income, and we're always careful about that. But let's be faithful. Let's keep being faithful, and thank you for your faithfulness, for your generosity that's expressed in so many ways. Well, as far as I know, this is the week, the final week of our series, Living the Good Life, I think. I always leave a dot, dot, dot. Could change. But I think our next series is going to be about how to think. Godly thoughts based upon Philippians. Think about these things, God things, good things. But today I'm excited about this. If you're newer here and you don't know that Andre Crouch was one of my heroes, and I always introduce him as the best friend that I never met. Well, I met him, but I didn't have an ongoing relationship, friendship with him. But he's so influential in my life with the music, and still I had a jag this week where I just played one Andre album after another. And it really fit into this because one of my favorite songs that he did toward the end of his career was called Living This Kind of Life. And man, we're so limited to what we can do. I would have introduced that song and let him introduce it to you, but because of all the rules and regulations about streaming, we can't do things like that, so we have to be careful. But here's the words. It's only he can say it and sing it, write it. Living this kind of life, it gets sweeter and sweeter day by day. Living this kind of life, everything is new and the old has passed away. Happy days are here again. I've got a new family of friends and I'm thankful. Yes, I am. Ever since I met Jesus Christ, I've been living this kind of life. Can anybody agree with that? Yes, it's a good life, regardless of the season we're in. Now, it may be different for you. I know I went to grade school and elementary and in the ancient of days, but when I was growing up, there were many occasions where the teachers would actually take a roll. Do you remember that anywhere? And they would call out your name. You know, you weren't paying attention, but they'd call your name, Nathan Ward. And when our name was called, we were expected to answer loudly and clearly, either here or present. Did anybody else have that experience besides me? They don't do that anymore, right? Because they track you digitally or whatever, I'm sure. But I've been thinking about that. I wonder how many of you are actually here today. I'm not judging you, I'm just asking. I don't necessarily mean in this building or even online. I do mean, are you here as in the present moment, right now? How many times through the week are we all where we are? Present. I've told you recently, but it bears repeating, at Ashland Seminary in a program called Passive Excellence, we were taught about offering God the sacrament of the present moment. That was by an ancient writer sometime years and years ago. But that's, and it was taught as this, that may be the most important spiritual discipline in our life. And how do you know it's hard work? Offering God the sacrament of the present moment, the right now, it's hard work. To be all here, all present, is hard work. So I just ask you, are you really here? I sometimes wonder, and I'm just asking, I sometimes wonder about those of you watching online and worshiping online, and I'm thankful that we have that available. Are you all there? Are you all here? Or is it just kind of there while you're eating breakfast or whatever? Of course, some of you are having your breakfast, as I greeted you today, a donut or whatever, with lots of icing and sprinkles. I've been thinking about that. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity like today together and worship our living God like this. Did anybody sense his presence here today? Well, we can anticipate that because he said, when you gather, I'll be in the middle of where you are. I'll be in the midst of you. These are precious and holy moments. Even though we don't all have suits and ties on, that hasn't changed anything. These are precious and holy moments. And I've discovered, have you, that we never know how God's Spirit's going to move among us on any given occasion. That's why I don't want to miss it. Do you? Lives can be changed in a moment of time with a simple yes. Most of you would probably answer my question, my piercing question, here. But I've got to say, and I want to tell you, I read a lot of things from up here, and that's why some of you are in the grandstand. But man, since I got my eyes fixed, I can see you on the very back rows as well. So beware. I can see facial expressions. I can read body language. And you may be here for right now, but it won't be long before you may not be. You'll be distracted by whatever, and you may be here physically, but mentally, emotionally, you'll be checked out. And I can see it on faces. I told some of you, I saw you yawn, and I'm glad you got your yawns out before I started speaking today. I'm glad about that. In fact, I'd go on, I'm going to mess with you a little bit today. Some of us will actually receive and or initiate text during these holy moments of worshiping God. In fact, I got to tell you, and I know who they are, but you don't, but you know who you are. I see teens and adults that I can seldom get eye contact with as I look up because their eyes are continually looking down. And I know it's the Bible app. And you know what I'm thinking as your pastor? I'm thinking, no eyes, no heart. Maybe. By the way, I've mentioned, but I want to mention again, I applaud schools that are finally saying, stow your devices during school hours. How many of you think that's a good thing? And then I also put the question down, what in the world took them so long, huh? I've been thinking, and I want you to think about it. I'm trying to think about times when I was really locked in. So I played basketball and baseball up through college, and I can tell you, when I was a point guard and the game was close in the line and bringing the ball down the court, I was nowhere else. I was all right there. That was my focus, you know? And I wasn't thinking all kinds of, I mean, I was there. Even worse, when I was on the pitcher's mound, a left-handed pitcher, and the bases were loaded and I had a full count, let me tell you, I was all there, but I wanted to be somewhere else, I can tell you that. I can remember getting so keyed up that the gum in my mouth disintegrated like cotton. You ever had that happen in a stressful situation? How about you? Well, oh, by the way, I thought about this one. Have any of you had any kind of surgical procedure in the last 5 years besides me? Come on, wave at me. It's okay. I'm just, yeah. How many of you want your surgeon to be all there? The last thing you want to hear in surgery is, oops, or I forgot, or what's this? You know, fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. All right, I'm getting to something here. What should be true in schools and true in other things, how much more, if it's true there, how much more true should it be when we gather to worship God in this way? Does anybody believe that God deserves our undivided attention, at least for a little while? There are so many excuses for not, but here's what I've determined, try this on. I believe that distracted worship leads often to distracted living. Somebody ought to write that down because I'll forget it. Distracted worship can lead to distracted living, careless living, and that's a real problem. So I want to repeat a definition that I've used in the last few weeks, but I want to come back to it from Eugene Peterson, who wrote a pastor's paraphrase, a brilliant scholar. But here's what he wrote in the little pamphlet book. He said, listen, these holy moments, worship is a strategy. In other words, it's a plan. It's not accidental. We plan to worship God because he's holy, because of who he is. It's the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves as represented by a device or whatever it may be and attend to the presence of God. Does anybody think it's about time that we attend to the presence of God? Because he desires, delights, and deserves our praises, but that's not because he has an ego trip. That's what he knows is best for us when we offer it up. It's life-changing. He finalizes that worship is the time and the place that we assign for deliberate attentiveness to God. Is there any other reason to come and gather like this than that? The presence of Jesus changes everything. I'm going to talk about the presence of Jesus, and I'm going to talk about our presence. Let's dive into God's word. A lot of stories of Jesus in the Bible and the miracle at the wedding, I alluded to it last week. And when I talk about weddings, and by the way, I like to say that a miracle happens at every wedding because God, two people come in and one person goes out. Would you agree? God says two become one. And someone said, I heard someone say something like this, and if you invite him to the wedding, he'll stay for the marriage. Is that good news? So a miracle happens at every wedding. It's miraculous. Jesus showed up. John chapter 2, verse 8. So I'll pick it up in the middle of the story because they were having a good time and they were drinking this and that and they ran out of the good stuff. And Jesus, it came to his attention. And he said in verse 8, now, dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. Boy, how many of us would be better off if we would learn to follow Jesus' instructions real quickly? Verse 9. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the wine that was the water that was now wine, former water, the jugs of water, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. Verse 10. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. Oh, I love this. I love phrases in the Bible, and this is so powerful. Here it is. But you have kept the best until when? Not last. I want to tell you that's a characteristic of God. Wherever you are, he keeps the best until now. Do you know what God time is? Now. You see, we can't wrap our heads around it because he lives in the eternal now. I mean, time, he's beyond it. Right. I've kept the best until now. Whether you see it or not or know it or not, I'm working, and the future is going to depend upon the now of your obedience, yeah. The now of your trust in me, right in this season, in this circumstance. It was a source of embarrassment in that culture for them to run out of wine. And the mother of Jesus, it says in the passage, in the story, that she brought this concern to him and told him to do something about it. And Jesus responded, you can read in the Gospels, he basically said, not yet. Don't you love that? Wouldn't you like to tell your mom that from time to time? Not yet. You better do it not with an attitude or you'll be in major trouble. Because I've stressed this, and I believe this is true. You can check it out biblically. Jesus didn't do on-command miracles. Yeah. He wasn't into performance, you understand? Right. Jesus performed for me. He had a higher goal. But she went, I mean, she had confidence in Jesus, and he shushed her a little bit and said, wait. But she went out to the servant and said, by the way, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. How many of you think that's good motherly advice still? Yeah. Do whatever my son tells you to do. Jesus took his time, and he didn't rush, as we've been talking about in this series. But at some point, when the time was just right, according to God time, Jesus time, he did turn the water into mighty fine wine. I'm not sure I was allowed to say the word wine in church when I was growing up. How about you? But I love what it says at the end of that little story. You've saved the best until now. Could that be a word of hope and encouragement to you where you are? Yeah. God's not done. He's alive and well. Yeah. He's working. Yeah. I'll say it again. God time is always now. Therefore, I draw the conclusion that it's always God time. No matter where you are. You could be at school, at university, at college, in a cafeteria. You could be in the locker room. You could be on the court, at school, at work, in your neighborhood. Doesn't matter. It's always God time. Yeah. That being the case, the best time is always now. And even if you can't see it in the now, he's preparing you for what's to come. You've lived long enough to see that, haven't you? The best time is now. In other words, what we offer God in that uninterrupted worship is the present moment, the present circumstance. We've been focused on Jesus. It said that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we've heard those three many times, but I've said Jesus is the way. Yeah. No matter where he was or who he was with or what he was doing, he was always present in the moment. Would you agree with that? He was all there. And he knew how to give his undivided attention. He engaged in the present act of living and giving, asking and listening, as the Bible is filled with. And I like to call this non-circumstantial present moment living. That's what God wants us to engage in right now on a day like today. A couple of examples in the story and life of Jesus. He was walking towards Jericho. The Bible says in Luke, we'll pick it up in chapter 18 in a moment. He was walking towards Jericho, and there were people everywhere trying to get his attention. I mean, crowds, just they were crushing him probably. But in the middle of this crushing crowd, he heard a man crying out to him. I mean, Jesus heard it with his own ears. And it picks up in verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. And when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, this is the beggar, the blind beggar, he asked what was happening. Tell me. He didn't want to miss out. 37, they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going, but I love it when the Bible says Jesus the Nazarene. Worcester Naz, get it? Sorry, he wasn't called by the name of your denomination. Just kidding. I could sing you songs about Jesus the Nazarene and wonder why he should love me. I'll stop there. Well, the rest of it goes, a sinner, condemned, unclean. I didn't much like to sing that. And I got the impression growing up that that's what Nazarenes were, sinners, condemned, unclean, whatever. The things, I could tell you about what I thought hymns were saying, the verses of the hymns. So, verse 38, you okay out there? You okay up there? So he begins shouting. This blind man begins shouting. He begins shouting. It wasn't a whisper. He shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah. Wow. Jesus was on the way to somewhere else, but he wasn't too preoccupied to hear the beggar's cry for mercy. Why? Because Jesus learned, as we talked about last week, he mastered the art. He modeled the art of walking slowly through the crowd. And the story goes on to say the crowd, I don't know if it was the disciples, other places, the disciples tried to rebuke people and Jesus rebuked them. But in this case, the crowd said, you know, hush, 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 go away, go away. And Jesus said, come here, come here, come here, because that's what Jesus does. Verse 40, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that man be brought to him. Bring him here. Come here now. As the man came near, Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? He said. And the man said, I want to see. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, pause. How many of you know it's one thing for Jesus to open eyes, but when he opens eyes, he also opens hearts. That's the purpose of it. I want to see. Jesus said, all right. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. If he would have had the faith but wouldn't have cried out, he would have probably never been healed. Agreed? Do you know that faith requires action? He cried out, faith in action. Jesus, help! Instantly, verse 43, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? That's the reason we follow him and praise him, because of what he's done in our life and who he is. And all who saw him praising God, they started praising God too. How many of you know praise is contagious? When you point and praise, it's contagious because people want to know who you're pointing to, who you're looking at. Jesus stopped and fully engaged this man who was hurting, and it became a healing moment, a transformational moment, if you will. He took time for a man when no one else would. And he always seemed to focus on who was in front of him or who was around him. It's like all his senses were all firing all the time. Great story. Luke 19, next chapter, 1 and 2. So Jesus in the former story was headed towards Jericho, but here it says he entered Jericho. I mean, he was on his way, walking slowly through the crowd because Jesus walked, remember? But there was a man there named Zacchaeus. Has anybody ever heard of Zacchaeus? Did anybody sing about it when you were in kids' church like me? A wee little man. Was he? I always felt sorry for Zacchaeus, didn't you? He was the chief tax collector in that region, and he had become very rich. So as Jesus entered Jericho, he encountered Zacchaeus, the scriptures say. Now, this is interesting, talking about faith and an act. He didn't call out to Jesus, did he? There's no record of him calling out. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But the Bible does say that Jesus looked up and took notice of him. So I would point out, do you know what Zacchaeus' act of faith were? Maybe there was two. Number one, he couldn't see, so he climbed up in a tree. And number two, he looked back at Jesus when Jesus looked at him. He didn't look away, he looked back. You know, sometimes it's an act of faith and worship just to return the gaze of Jesus because it's so penetrating. Not condemning. Jesus looked up and took notice of him. On his way of all things, he interrupted his walk to take care of a wealthy chief tax collector, and he was not a good man. He had a reputation for cheating his own people, and his Jewish kinsmen hated him. Oh, I love this context and contrast. The blind man called out. Zacchaeus climbed a tree and returned the gaze, locked eyes with Jesus, if you will. Jesus, I mean, all this is an example. The presence of Jesus is an example for us what our presence needs to be in this world. Jesus took time for the down and out. He didn't give them a hand out. He gave them a hand up. He offered them. But he also took time for the up and out. How many of you know that it doesn't matter if you're down or out or up? Up, out is out. Yeah. I say, it doesn't matter if you're down or up. Out is out. That means you're on the outside looking in. Jesus took time for anyone, anywhere, because he wasn't rushed. He wasn't in a hurry. His destination was people. So Jesus in that story called Zacchaeus out and down by name. And then he had the audacity to invite himself to his home for dinner. 20-somethings, you don't have to invite yourself. Dixie and I are inviting you right now. Jesus gave this lost person, this up and outer, this sinful man, his full attention. Listen to what it led to. Genuine, there's probably more, but here's what I've listed. Confession. Read the story this week. Repentance, and here's an old-fashioned term, restitution. Yeah. He said, what I've done wrong, I'm going to make right. Because that's what Jesus does. Yeah. I mean, he gets hold of our heart, and he rearranges everything. He rearranges the furniture, so to speak. Salvation came to that house, the home of Zacchaeus that day. And you know why that happened? It happened because Jesus was fully present all there. All because he looked up and saw a man in great need. I want you to think about that. A lot of times we think of looking down. Jesus looked up. Is anybody still here? Are you here? How about in the grandstand? If you're here, would you say here? Yeah. Present? Okay. Have you ever had the experience of being kind of annoyed at some kind of interruption or distraction, and that when you look back on it, you realize that God used you in spite of you didn't have a very good attitude? Have you ever been humbled by that, like me? Yeah. I came across a study, I guess it was blamed on Harvard, that revealed the way they said it, something like this, that people, this study said that people's minds are not over their feet most of the, well, only 47% of the time is your mind where you are. Think that could be accurate? I really do. In other words, could it be that nearly half of our lives we're not fully present in the moment? We're here, there, and everywhere. I've been picking on devices in a church. I mean, I've read multiple places that people literally touch their phones or devices thousands of times daily. Would you agree that, not you, but your people sitting around you, that they're addicted? I'm so glad that we have Celebrate Recovery, CR, available. Hi, I'm Nathan. I'm addicted to my phone. Could I say this? That maybe the reason that our thoughts or our minds aren't over or over our feet more often is because we spend so much time dwelling on the past or thinking about the future. Would you agree with that? Some of you already, you're not here, you're there, or you're back there, or you're ahead. And it seems like we're constantly running. We talked about that last week. We're running from, like, I should or shouldn't have, or we're running to, what if this or that happens? Come on, that's what I'm talking about, the past or the future. Isn't that true? That dominates our screen. Could I offer you a somber, sincere warning? Don't miss out on where you are and what you have right now in pursuit of things to come. Jesus speaks to us clearly about it in Matthew 6:34. So he would call us by name. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today, right here, right now. I don't believe in this verse Jesus was saying for a moment that we shouldn't plan. No, but he's saying we're not to be filled with worry about and uncertainty about the future. We're to trust him. Big difference between planning and worry. So could I encourage you to decide and act today? Does this make sense to you? Surrender the past you can't change to God.
Yeah.
Have you? Any of you ever been, other unlike me, have you been able to change the past by thinking about it? No. And especially if it's under the blood, the forgiveness of Jesus, the past is no longer there. But could I also encourage you to trust God with the future? Could I remind you that when it comes to the future, you don't know it and you can't control it? So give it up. Some of you have worn yourself out by trying to control the future. Only God. That's why we sing these songs about his goodness and about trusting him, his faithfulness. So I'm pleading with you in this moment, God time now, to surrender the past and the future to God by choice. And the only way you can do that is truly to give him your undivided attention. In this house, we believe that God's always good.
That's right.
Like now. Whether you see it or understand it, its goodness or not, his goodness is beyond our imagination. So his word is encouraging us to choose to live in the present active moment as the greatest sacrament of sacrifice of worship. Are you still here? Are you still here? Can somebody give me a high sign in the grandstand? Are you still here? Carl, are you still here? I see you in the back row in the middle. Give me a hand wave. I see you. My new eyes are wonderful. James 4:13. I love it. In my Bible, it says, this is an NLT translation, but says, look here. I like that, don't you? Like, wake up, pay attention. Look here. Look. Look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. Verse 14. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow?
Right.
I'm trying to say that the only guarantee we have is right here, the now. Yeah. Your life and mine, our lives are like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. That could be good and that could be bad. When I come from home to the church some mornings early, the fog is so dense, I mean, you can hardly see in front of you, but then in a little while, it's gone, and it's good when fog is gone. But he said, that's what our lives are like. They're so fragile. Have any of you, like me, had plans that don't always pan out? How many of you have seen God work in the plans that didn't pan out? Yeah. From our perspective. Man, I should have brought it. I think on my shelf, I forgot to look this morning. I think I have an hourglass on my shelf. Does anybody, do I have that there? I used to. And it reminded me, I never watched it, I swear. But you remember soap operas? I mean, my dad used to preach against them because, I mean, he'd bring it. Do you remember, I had to look this one up. Does anybody remember the one called Days of Our Lives? Is that a fact? So here was the lead in line. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Well, how many of you know that's good theology? From a soap opera. I'm not sure what soap stands for, but I'm sure that means something. I was going to bring my hourglass up and show it's a big one. And, you know, I don't know how many grains of sand are on top representing life. You know, I mean, there's a lot. But I know that once I turn it over, the sand begins to flow from the top to the bottom. Time passes, and once the sand is in the bottom, it's all gone. What used to be there is down here. And I want to tell you, life is a lot like that. I was thinking of an old song that Bill Gaither and Gloria, his wife, wrote some time ago called We Have This Moment Today. The thing I like about Bill Gaither so much, he does songs, I would say, a pickup from Stevie Wonder long ago. He wrote songs in the key of life. You know?
Yeah.
And listen to the words that I picked up this morning. We have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch the now, this moment, as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Amen?
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? And he said, in this moment, I've come to give you what? Life. Life to the full. That's why we need to be all here. Because this is all we're guaranteed. I want to tell you, we'll never be happy if we're not all here. If we're always there, if we're here, but we're there. We'll never be happy, satisfied, contented. We can't love people the Jesus way when we're not all here. Jesus is teaching the things that matter most are people. It's who's right in front of us. I'll say it again. Jesus was always there. So in light of this thought, I go back to one of my life verses and favorite that I often quote in Psalm 118:24 that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. In other words, he's gifted you the now. Will you rejoice and be glad in it? That's not a circumstantial verse. How many of you know that's an all-season verse? Like right now, this is the day gifted to you. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, but you can invest in it by rejoicing and being glad. As Jesus walked along the way, slowly, people weren't interruptions or inconveniences. They were opportunities to engage, to demonstrate the goodness of God. And I'm here to tell you today, right now, moments matter. Did you hear me? Right now, moments matter. Invest in them. What's eternal? Only our relationship with God and people. That's the only way we can invest towards heaven. Agreed?
Right.
Well, I'm landing this. Think about Jesus. If he ever would have been distracted and self-focused, it would have been on the cross, right? Because he was agonized. We'll be to Easter, Good Friday to Easter before we know it. And he was agonizing, hanging there, suffering, bearing the sins of all humanity. But in that horrible circumstance, he gave his healing attention to one of the thieves hanging there. You can check it out in God's word by his side. When the thief expressed sorrow for his sin, for his life, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. How many of you think that happened? Don't miss out. Living the good life God has given you and intends for you to live. Again, not circumstantial. My parents used to say and pray, our lot has fallen in pleasant places. I come that you might have life. Don't miss it. It's right in front of you. Have a healthy fear of missing out. Be all here. Good news. He saved the best until now. I don't care how good it's been. There's more to come. Does anybody believe? I do. I do. We messed up. Satan wants to rub our nose in the forgiven past. It's no longer there. But he said, I want you to look up and return my gaze because the best is now. And if our citizenship eternally is in heaven because we said yes to a relationship with Jesus, we've got to know and live like it. This isn't all there is and mean it, huh? The best has been saved till now. So open up your heart. He's looking at you. Not down. He's looking up. Experience his mercy and grace and forgiveness. And as the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you that are skeptical, how do you know? You've never tasted. How do you know you would love him? You've never tasted. You've never seen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience him right now. Are you still here? Are you still here? You know what I've discovered, and maybe this is just true for me. I wonder, I guess I've been wrestling with this. Is it harder to surrender the past to God or to trust him with the future? Well, I guess I would say that I've had time to think about it. If you can conquer trusting, if you can conquer surrendering the past, it might be easier to trust him with the future. Especially when you're in a relationship with him. Some of you, you don't know what I'm talking about because you've never opened your heart and said yes to a relationship with Jesus. That's transformational. That creates living transformed. I grew up with a lot of music in our home. My mom played piano and organ and it was saturating. Sang, we all sang. But I remember singing this song, it was in our home. Just a piece of it. God is in every tomorrow. Therefore, I live for today. Certain of finding at sunrise guidance and strength for the day, power for each moment of weakness, strength for each moment of pain, confident in his protection, knowing my life path is planned. Well, we love that verse. I have a hope for you. Not to harm you, but to give you a hope. And if you, you know, we love that. Is that true or not? Do we believe it? And I close by reaching back to the Andre song I began with, just a little bit of the bridge. He's kind of given his testimony. No more walking in sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Until Jesus comes and my work on earth is done, I've got to say, from now on till my dying day, I'll be living this kind of life. Because it's a good life. It's a sweet life. You know, I like living this kind of life. Amen? Well, I invite you. I don't know, are you going solo or is the team coming? All right, come on out, you all. You know, I do my best to present the truth from the Word, you know, from a biblical perspective, biblical worldview. And man, it's not going to change us if we're just hearers only. We've got to respond. And a lot of things I talk about, they could become head scratchers because you can't explain it, but you can't explain it away until you say yes, until you come into a relationship with Jesus. And I just get worried in a crowd like this, not only in this room, but online, that we know maybe a lot about Jesus, but we don't know him relationally. We're not returning his gaze. We're just giving him a glance every now and then. But he wants our undivided attention, and that's what saying yes to Jesus is about. We give him access to every part of our life. Yes? Yes, we surrender our sin, but we also give him ourselves and go palms up and say, I'm all yours. I didn't create me, you did. And I'm going to live for your glory, enjoying you all the way. I'm going to invite you to stand if you could, if you can, care to, in the spirit of prayer. Could you wrestle with things? God, have I really surrendered the past to you? Have I really embraced my future to you? Am I all here? That frees us up to live in God time, in the moment, the present now. Doesn't make sense, but I'm going to take this step of faith. I'm going to take this step of faith by saying yes to a relationship with you. Come in and do for me and in me that you did for Zacchaeus long ago. I confess, I repent, I turn from, and I turn to you. And I'm going to live to make things right, to make things right in your eyes, because I want to please you. I want to glorify you in all things. I want to enjoy you forever. Even as we sing this song about what Jesus does in our lives, may this become a reality at our invitation. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. For some of us, Lord, help us to let go of the past, to settle it. Once it's forgiven and it's gone, or forgiving somebody else, whatever the case may be, and say, I'm not going to dwell there. I'm going to live in the present, and I'm going to trust God to give me the strength to walk it out in the future. Thank you for the powerful word and for the examples of Jesus who modeled it so well, perfectly for us, to walk slowly through the crowd, to be all here. Convict us about it, Lord. Even today, we find ourselves distracted. Help us to focus on people who are going to live forever somewhere.